Well, hello everyone. Welcome to the SMRT, MR Safety Week 2021 podcast. I'm Bill Faulkner, and joining me as co-host is Vera Kimbrell. Good evening, Vera.
Hey, Bill.
And Vera and I are going to be joined by Nick Sanai from Australia. Good evening. Morning. It's morning for you, Nick. How are you?
Good. Morning. Good. Thank you.
Before we get started, though, we do want to give another shout out to past president Nancy Bellick for helping get this going. And really got to tell you, Vera did all the work on this, getting it organized and speakers lined up and everything, topics. And it just wouldn't have happened without you, ladies. We really do appreciate it. So Nick is going to talk to us specifically about the Biotronic pacemaker and conditions of use and things surrounding those conditions of use is how you scan. I'll turn it over to Vera and let her get this started.
So I just wanted to first bring up a couple of points because all conditional labeling is country specific. So there are, you know, for those of us that are in the United States and other people that are in other countries, we can't assume that a device that is that has been given conditional labeling is okay for every country and that all conditions are the same. So it's pretty important when you're looking up devices that you make sure that you're looking for the labeling that's specific to your country. So that's, you know, that's the first point I want to make. And the second point I want to make is that we have another podcast where we talked about ICDs, which are different from pacemakers that, you know, we're going to talk about today. And the patients that receive ICDs and the patients that receive pacemakers are, you know, a little different in their disease types and, you know, the reasons that they get those devices. So, you know, as we scan these patients, schedule and scan these patients, you know, those are just things that, you know, we need to kind of keep in mind. So Nick, first of all, can you just tell me what hospital you work at in Australia and where you are kind of like physically located in the world?
Yes. So I'm in, I work at Westmead Public Hospital, which is in New South Wales, Sydney. I've been working there for the last 15 years, and we've got three magnets that we work on at the moment. We've got a 1.5 Tesla by GE, and we've got 2-3T by Siemens, which is a Prisma and a Scala magnet. Yeah.
Okay, good. So that's good because we, when we did our ICDs, we talked about Philips magnets. So we've, you know, we're going to kind of hit all of the major vendors, you know, and be able to talk about conditions. So that's really good. So the next thing that I wanted you to address, if you wouldn't mind, is your scheduling process. So how is it that you kind of look for and identify patients that have implanted devices? Do you have like scheduling that does that, or, you know, how does that happen?
So at the moment, when we're scanning pacemaker patient with we've got an MRI safety questionnaire that gets filled out. If they're outpatient or inpatient, the inpatient, we've got an electronic system that the e-order put through, and then the treating team would flag it that this patient has a pacemaker, and then what they do, they would send us a patient with the procedure notes and the stickers on the procedure notes that the surgeon, the cardiologist, what type of make and model of pacemaker this patient has and the leads they use. Then, for example, what I look for, we do a lot of Biotronic pacemakers, DRT8 and SRT8, and the leads they use, which is Solio S. And then they use a 53 and 60, which is the length of the leads that they use. What we do, we check into the website, and so for Biotronic, we use this good website that's called promricheck.com. And as you mentioned, that different countries they may have different conditions. And one of the first thing that when you go on Pro MRI check.com, it asks you what country you're looking to get this information. And obviously, we put in Australia and then continue, and then you type in the make and model of the pacemaker and the leads. For this case, which is a DRT and SRT8, with Solia S, and that's what we do. So that's how we get the information.
So do you require that the patients come in ahead of time and get a chest X-ray, or do you require a visit with the EP, the cardiologist clinic, or is that something that happens automatically somewhere else?
At this stage, we're only doing inpatients with pacemakers due to the number of patients that we get received lately. So we only do the inpatients, and normally the inpatients come in because as a routine, they would have a chest X-ray. And
okay, so they've got a chest X-ray in the chart already because they're an inpatient. Yes. And then you have most of the information in your hospital database or your radiology information system. So that's all there for you.
Yes.
So then you go and you look at the EP notes and you look at the chest X-ray. Who clears the patient for MRI? Do your radiologists do that or your cardiology service? Like, how does that happen?
So clearing patient, there's multiple way. So first of all, once we get the information, so when the order put through and our radiologist would let us know that this patient has a pacemaker and we receive the information, we go, as a radiographer, we go and have a look to see whether this pacemaker may be conditionally okay for an MRI scan, conditionally safe. And then once we got those information, we let the team know that they need to contact the cardiologist. So we're giving them this form. Biotronic has a form, and every in Australia, you know, whether it's Biotronic, Medtronic, they have a different cardiologist form that the treating team needs to give it to the cardiologist who's treating this patient to sign off to okay for this patient to have the MRI scan. That's the next step that we take.
Okay, so it goes scheduling, and then cardiology sign off via a form that that is provided from the vendor website.
That's right. And after that, once the cardiologist sign off, the treating team needs to do a consent with the patient that there's always maybe a risk of patient going for MRI, even though we try to make sure that everything goes as planned and we follow the strict protocol, but they still have to do the consent with the patient.
Okay. Are they physically on site, Nick? Do you require somebody from cardiology to be physically on site when you scan the patient, or do they just need to kind of go through the process?
Once they go through the process, so the cardiologist, once they sign off, we got cardiac technologists on site.
So you have you have actual like EP people? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we have them on site. And when we book this patient, we make sure that we book them when we have the anesthetic team on site as well to monitor the patient while the patient's having an MRI scan. The doctor and a nurse.
So you have both.
We have both. And what happens is the cardiac technologist will come in and change the pacemaker to the MRI mode.
Okay.
Just before we take the patient in, we ask the question as we do normally with MRI safety questionnaire, if there's any other contraindication for patient to have MRI scanned, such as, you know, other coiling or stents or other things that we need to know beforehand before we take the patient into the magnetic room. And we just follow the protocol with the radiology protocol with the checklist. So, for example, the Biotronic Pro MRI has a checklist that we follow with you know, make sure the patient lying supine, and multiple different things that we follow, the SAR, the slew rate, and we'll do the scan as the checklist for radiologists.
Okay. So I'm looking at this, and it is a pretty nice checklist. There's one for the cardiologist that you talked about, you know, the different settings for the pacemaker and, you know, things that, that cardiology would obviously need to do. And then I see a few things here that the leads have to be implanted for at least 6 weeks, and that the system is pictorial, which means that's in the chest, right?
That's right, yes.
And then there are thresholds that, you know, they're kind of beyond the scope of most of us, that we would hope that our cardiology friends would take care of for us. And then when we go to the checklist for radiologists, it says that we need to have emergency resuscitation things available, which I think hopefully all of us do. Yes. And the patient needs to be in the dorsal position, which is good because most MRIs are done that way. But I guess that kind of excludes like maybe a breast exam. So have you?
Yes.
Okay. So you mostly do just routine stuff. Lumbars, brains,
yes,
abdomens, etc. Then it says the specific absorption rate for whole body direct, displayed by the MRI is 2 watts per kilogram. So that means normal mode, right? So do you special protocols, or do you just kind of instruct your technologist to stay at normal mode?
We just to stay in normal mode.
Okay.
So with our system, we can at the start of a scan select whether we want to go normal mode or fast mode, and we just select normal mode, so that keeps all our SAR level below 2 watt per kilogram.
But it has this kind of funky note that says the combination of Sola S and Sela S and pacemakers enables you to go first level. But it doesn't. Yeah, so you can actually go up to first level as long as you have these particular leads, right? So you will have identified that before you scan the patient. But that's the older leads, I guess you can't do that. And then you monitor the patient. So you already said that you have both a nurse and a physician that monitor the patient during the exam, which is great. And then 1.5 Tesla. So you scan these patients at 1.5 T. You don't need to scan, or you don't scan them on the 3 Tesla. And pretty much all coils, it looks like, right? You don't have any coil restrictions.
Yeah, no, there's no coil restriction. The only restriction is, which I haven't come across, but there is a thorax coil that, if you know, you cannot use the transmit receive thorax coil.
Thorax coil, which I've
never come across one. So.
So the only thing I can think of is the only send receive coil in the thorax I can think of is at 7T, but 7T would be like way out of the.
Well, 7T doesn't really have any, you know, body imaging right now. This actually
not in the U.S.
Right. Well, true. In several other implants or devices, I have seen this statement about a local transmit coil placed directly over the chest, and it's in there because they didn't test for it, and they didn't test for it because it doesn't exist.
Hard to test.
Well, it's, you know, they might as well say don't scan with the unicorn in the room. Hasn't been tested. I suppose somebody could make a local transmit and receive coil. You know, some of these research centers could do that. Yeah. But as far as a product version of a transmit receive coil or a local transmit coil placed directly over the chest, that actually doesn't exist. But I have seen that cause confusion because people say, well, but I do put a coil directly over the chest. Yeah, that's a receive only coil, and you're transmitting with the integrated body coil. So this is a point of confusion on multiple devices because it does make a statement about something that nobody knows what it is because it doesn't exist, you know, in the wild. But I'm glad you brought that up because that hadn't come up before in any of the other podcasts we were doing. And that's really important thing to point out. It's just, it's a coil that they didn't test for because nobody really has.
Right. But it is, you know, it's confusing, I think, because if it's in there, then it makes us wonder if we have it on the shelf and, you know.
Well, and that's, you know, the other thing I've seen, though, is I've seen a lot of people say, well, we have a transmit and receive shoulder coil. I'm not really know that I'm aware of any product version transmit and receive shoulder coil. It's very important, and this is a good time to bring this up. I think it's very important that all the coils be labeled, particularly head coils, extremity coils, as to what they are, you know, whether they are transmit and receive head coil or receive only head coil or whatever, because sometimes this comes into play with conditions of use. So it's not a bad idea to make sure annual education and certainly labeling, you know, lets us know, you know, what type of coil we have, you know, what we're putting on the patient.
Right. Right. So Nick, scanning the patient seems relatively straightforward. You know, you do an exam, you just stay in normal mode. And then when you're done with the exam, what happens to the patient after that?
So what happens then, we call the cardiac technologist to come in. So we bring the patient out, first of all, and then our cardiac technologist would change the pacemaker back to the normal mode from the MRI mode. And we make sure the patient's okay. So hemodynamically, patient's fine. And then because there's physicians around and the nurses around, as long as we know the patient's okay, then we send the patient back to the ward.
Okay. So these are inpatients and you just, you know, you make sure that their device goes back into the mode that it was in and it's providing therapy at, you know, at the same level that it was before, you know, they came down. And then, you know, of course they're inpatients. So fortunately they're not going far away. But for those of you that scan outpatients, I know that one of the things that I've heard from some technologists is that they like to hold the patient for a little bit. And, you know, a little bit's variable depending on your policy, just to make sure that the patient's stable before they let them leave the building and, you know, go about their daily lives. All right. So Nick, are there any, is there anything else that you can think to tell us about problems that you might run into or how do you keep your techs, you know, kind of sharp and, yeah, and trained and not afraid to scan these patients?
Yeah, as you mentioned before, chest x-ray is one of the most important things I think we need to look into because there's a lot of patients coming, they say that patients have a pacemaker, but they could have had pacemaker before and there's abandoned leads that could be there from the previous pacemaker. They make a model of different companies, they cannot mix and match. So we cannot have a leads from Biotronic and Medtronic pacemaker that the manufacturers, they don't accept to mix up the two multiple different companies. So they give you conditionally those protocols to follow if you're using the same make and model from the same company. That's something that I have come across multiple times that, you know, especially abandoned leads that it's been there from before and the cardiologist went and put a new pacemaker in with new leads. And that's a no-go. So it is very important that you make sure that you have a look at the chest x-ray, go through it with a radiologist. If you're not sure about something, have a look at the surgeries, the reports, and making sure that, you know, your patient is, you know, going to be okay and you're not taking a risk. There's no contraindications.
Right. You know, we talked about that a little bit when we did the ICD talk and that patients that have these therapies long-term, when they get them when they're younger and they may have them for, you know, for multiple years throughout their lives and these generators don't last forever.
That's right.
And, you know, they may need to change out the battery for the generator. They may get a completely new type of pacemaker. And so you get in these situations where you have, you know, mix and match generators and leads. And, you know, those things, of course, kind of kill your MRI conditional labeling and make them not conditional anymore. So those things are really important. And I think you're right. I think the one of the best tools that we have is a chest x-ray, a recent chest x-ray, just to make sure that the patient, you know, I don't know how many times I've had patients say, oh, they put in a pacemaker, but they took it out. Sometimes they do temporary pacemakers. That's true. But, you know, many times they just, you know, they're just wrong and there's still a generator in there, or at least leads in there. So that makes it very difficult. Okay. So I think that's, you know, that's kind of the end of our session on this particular pacemaker.
I think it's been very useful, Nick. We really want to thank you for really want to thank you for your input here. But thank you for participating. Thank you for getting up early this morning to
thank you for having me
to be with us. Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. Okay, guys. So this will do it for this edition of our MR Safety Week 2021 podcast. Again, I want to thank Vera and Nancy for all their help, especially Nick for joining us this morning, or afternoon, evening, whenever the crap it is, from Australia. We're happy you're here. Thank you all again very much, and take care. We're out of here. See ya.